Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Insightful Journey, a podcast where we talk about spirituality, tarot, paranormal, shamanism, any other things that pop into our heads. Episode 8 already, I can't believe it. I am Charlie, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host.
Hope everybody's doing well.
Oh, yeah, man. So, how's the weather?
Well, it's on off from cold to sweating your whole body to death. Blah.
I laugh because two of the podcasts I listen to, they start and they always make fun of how shows open. And the first thing the host asks somebody is, hey, how's the weather? And, so these shows make sure they don't do the weather talk. So it's just funny.
Yeah,
it's a funny thing.
I hate humidity. Anyway. I absolutely hate humidity.
Oh
yeah.
You live in the wrong part
of
the country, my friend.
It is.
Oh my god. Yeah, so here we go. Episode 8. Man, we've been doing this for 8 times now. Wow.
I don't know.
Where does the time go? It's nuts. It's nuts. All right, what do we want to get into? You wanna put me on the spot for some tarot or?
Well, I truly want to hear about you had an investigation. What was that, a week ago? Yeah, and it sounded like you had quite a good time and experience, and I really want to hear from you, how it went, you had a lot from what I heard.
Yeah, so the team that I'm on, Weep. I'm cutting that out. Reap Investigations West Coast is the group. We're part of the Reap team, Bill and Chris Reap. Anyway, most of all the people on the team live up in Reno, Sparks area. B and myself, we're here in California. We are actually... We actually run the California chapter, and of course it's just B and I right now. We had a person, and then she decided to fall in love and move to Montana. But anyway, we went up there. There's the Nevada State Prison. Half of it is still active, new modern prison, and the old part of it, the old buildings, the whole thing, is obviously abandoned. It's not an active prison anymore, and we know the lady who is on the committee that runs the place, and they open it up to paranormal tours. A lot of the TV shows have been on there. I know Project Fear were there not too long ago. Other teams have been there. It is a crazy active place. So it's the old Nevada State Prison in Carson City, Nevada. And we were up there last weekend to investigate. And, this place, it is just crawling with spirits, let me tell you. There's some dark things moving around in there, too. There's some funky stuff. A lot of it's just, inmates that are stuck or they just come back. I don't understand it myself because, honestly, I wouldn't think prison... It was a place I'd want to go back to if I was dead. Yeah, the way I understand, the way most of us kind of feel about it is once you're dead, you can go wherever you want. You can go travel the world. You can go see everything that you want to see. You have free will on that side. You can go do things. Why you come back to certain areas or why you stay in certain areas, we don't know. Nobody really has an answer for that.
I 100% agree with that. Like when my dad was passing away, he loves the stars, the universe, the solar systems, he loves outer space. And I knew as soon as that man passed, he was off to explore. And I think it's one of the reasons, I know he's always with me, but I also know, he's quite distracted by the beauty and the amazing, the maze balls of the universe. And, I've always felt the same way. It's especially if if you're not, I don't know what exactly would cause a spirit to stick in one place. Maybe it's just my own personal feelings, but I would not stick around. I'd be dude, there's way too much to see. I'm outie.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, you know, some are tied to a location, and, you know, we feel that a lot of spirits are there, you know, because they mm-hmm. it's routine, it's known to them, you know, it's like their known thing. So, yeah, I guess if you were in prison for many, 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 many years, you know, that was your routine. Yeah. That's what you knew. So, anyway, there's, in this part, there's the old death chamber. I think... This prison, if I remember correctly, was like the first place that actually executed people in the state of Nevada. So they had the first, you know, deaths. So they had like a death row and, you know, the actual chamber. We used to be able to go inside the gas chamber, and believe me, that is a funky experience. And there's still the table is Oof. Still there with all the straps on it, you know, where they would strap the person, you know, lethal injection or gas. I think the first ones were gas, and then they were realizing that like filling that whole chamber up and like it was not a very human way to mention cost effective for the chemicals. Somebody.
Like so, all that stuff is super expensive if you look into it.
Yeah. So they went to lethal injection. So that whole death row section and the whole thing, the death chamber is like right off of the women's ward. So, like, you have to, like, walk through, like, all the cells where the women would be to get to, you know, like, the three holding cells, which were your last, you know, when you were on death row and where they would give you your, you know, your last meal and all that. And then your next stop when you moved out of that cell was into the death chamber, basically.
There's
the death chamber and there's a room on the other side, you know, the observation chamber, you know, where you can, you know, where people went to, you know, observe the death happening, which is if you think about it, it's a pretty morbid thing, but, you know, and the energy in that room is so, you can just feel the energy, you know, you understand. This is not a place where you laugh and crack jokes and things. It's a very serious.
Yeah.
Heavy feeling in that room. And on the walls lined up, they have photos, if they had photos of the people who were put to death there. It's all lined. There's like, I don't know, 30, 40, 50. I don't know. But you just see this line and you see their names. And, you know, a few have more details. There is a book that has a detail on every person who was put to death, what kind of crime they committed.
Is there any, like,
so on.
Like, real famous, like... people.
I knew you were gonna ask. I should know the names. What's his name? Carol somebody. Anyway, the first guy who was put to death in the death chamber, he is there a lot, and he one of the people on my team, Michelle LeBaron. She's done the prison many, many times. I think she works as a docent there sometimes as well, so she has a lot of experience. Anyway, Carol somebody, I cannot remember his last name. I would have to ask B. In fact, I probably should ask him. This spirit has interacted with Michelle a lot. And so while we were there, she was like, okay, I've got an idea. I'm going to do this whole thing. And she recorded it. She was in the cell, the holding cell, the last, your last day cell. And she brought with her, you know, she brought basically the meal he had, his last meal. And so she brought all the food with her, and then she was in the cell, and she ate his final meal. And they, you know, video recorded and so on. I think she's put it up by now. If not, she will later. But, you know, we were outside of the room. We were over... where were we? I think we were in the observation room or looking down the hallway by the women's ward. We were somewhere around, you know, we were outside of it, so we weren't contaminating the filming or anything and being really quiet. But you could feel the energy and stuff. And she had some equipment there. She had equipment go off. There was like this flash. It was almost like, you know, like someone took a picture with their phone, you know, the flash on your phone. But nobody was taking a picture at the time. Weird. Nobody had their phone out. And they had this flash of light in the room. So it's like, whoa, that was crazy. All the time, you know, as we're going through there, going through the different wards and the levels, you could hear footsteps behind you. You could hear things happening. Heard a lot of, like, we'd walk into or like walk onto a level, and you could hear like background, like people talking. You just hear murmuring of voices. Yeah, it's nuts. This place is just so active. There's shadow figures. Saw quite a few of those, but I don't know. For some reason, I always see the shadow figures. It's nuts. It's like they want me to see them. So I know some people can't see them or just don't realize or can't distinguish it. I mean, in a dark room, I can look and see, yep, there's a guy moving. There's one moving this way, moving that way. You know, you can see him. The body, it's like the form of a body. You know, you just see it walking. Yeah. It's like a shadow moving back and forth. But
is it something like in your peripheral, or is it like you literally like see like straight ahead?
I'll catch the motion like out of the peripheral, and then when I focus, I see them straight on. Like I'm looking straight on and watching them move back and forth, or watching them walk. Let me tell you. Usually, this thing you don't understand. You know, you don't understand what it is, but you see this black form. It's like a person. It is the silhouette of a person, and it is walking towards you. And you have no idea who it is, what it is, what is it, you know, you get like that, because it's like, whoa. I mean, I've had them walk up and, like, stand, like, a foot away from me, and you can tell they're staring at me as hard as I'm staring at them.
Good morning! Hello! Like,
very interesting stuff. Yeah, it's like, oh, hi! What are you doing here? interesting, so trippy. We just had all kinds of stuff. I recorded a lot. I was trying to go through my recordings yesterday, see if I could catch any clips, if I caught anything, and I just couldn't. I didn't have the time to sit down and go through it all, so I'm unprepared, but you know, maybe in a future episode.
Yeah, I'd love to see, like, especially if you caught something. I'd love to hear it.
Oh yeah. Then we go to the culinary is what they call it. It's basically the chow hall. Okay, so the culinary, and you know, it's where they would file in and, you know, get their food, and, you know, all the metal tables. I mean, I've got some pictures. I'll have to send you the pictures of it. It's really cool, and it's, you know, caged off. There's like two big dining rooms. There's like the hallway that you walk in, go around the corner, and that's where you go. You know, you get your tray, you get your food, you come out into the dining room. There's the observation room right above. It's raised up, and so it's glass windows on like three sides. So that's like where guards would stay and watch over what's happening. You know, so you know you're not doing anything wrong when you're out there eating, you know, when the inmates are eating. That place, that we always get movement, we always get things, because you go in the back, like where they prepared the food, where they wash the dishes, all that stuff. Back in those rooms, we catch voices, footsteps. We were there.
Oh, I was just about to ask you. You hear screaming. That's the baby going down for a nap, and she's been cranky today, so.
Oh, okay, okay.
She's like, I'm hearing screaming.
There's a ghostly voice in the background. Ooh. Anyway, okay, yeah, so in the back, in the culinary, and when we were back there, we were in this room. It was kind of like a storeroom. There's nothing in it now. It's just this big open space, and you could tell it would be like a storeroom. And we kept hearing footsteps on the ceiling above us, like upstairs, like somebody walking up and down, you know, upstairs. And we're like, what? You know, and all of us are like, you're hearing that, right? And you're like, yeah, we're all hearing the footsteps. We're hearing the footsteps. So here's the thing. That's a single story.
Oh, so it sounded like somebody was going up and down stairs, but there's no stairs.
But no, it was like on the roof, you know, like on the ceiling, you could hear footsteps, you know, coming from like, you know, like if it was the floor above you. But there is no, I mean, it's just the roof, and it's like 3 foot concrete, you know, you're not just going to hear somebody walking around. It's crazy. So we're like, okay, that was fun. And then I go out into the dining area, and we have some equipment set up, you know, REM pods and whatever. So, you know, spirits come by, they set them off. It's fun, so much fun. I go out there, and I'm like, sit down. I was like, okay, let me see what's going on. It seemed pretty quiet. You know, I was like, all right, I'll just sit down for a minute. And someone told me, pull out your cards. And so I did. And I had three different spirits come up to my table and want a reading. It was so, it was crazy, crazy. I recorded through most of that. And so hopefully I caught something, but I could feel like different people. And, you know, so I'm normally I just shuffle the deck and, you know, I lay out cards and, you know, just give them a reading, you know, tell them what's going on. It's weird because you can just feel the energy that somebody's sitting across from you. So it's strange. And then, I mean, the readings are like, I started getting like specific, like what's going on. It's like, oh, yeah, your girl, she is waiting out there for you. When you get out, she's waiting for you to return. You know, I mean, I was getting the, like, direct messages. It was crazy, which is funny because everyone's all dead now. But, you know, I was getting messages. And then the last one I was doing, I was like, okay, for whatever reason, I like broke the deck up into like five piles, six piles. And I had my little witch's fork with me. I was like, okay, I'm like, here, pick, you know, which pile, where, you know, which one. And so I had the fork and it moved to like different piles every time. And so as I did, I just, you know, when I had pulled six cards, then I did the reading. For spirits, I do like this reverse pyramid kind of thing. It's like a triangle on its point. I go three cards, and then below that, two cards, and below that, one card. I don't know why. It's like as above, so below kind of thing. So it's like a reverse of what I would normally do if I was going to use that kind of layout. And it works really well for spirits. So it's, anyway, so I had the fork go, and it moved to different piles. And it didn't just go like one, two, you know, it moved back and forth, like, you know, the second pile on the left and then the one all the way on the right. And so it wasn't you know, me doing something weird and just going right down the line. And actually, in one of the piles, it took like two cards out of the same pile, you know, and it's like, okay, you know, hey, you're in charge, whatever you want. And it was the freakiest reading I have ever done. I don't remember the details of it because that's how crazy it was. It was like I wasn't there anymore. I wasn't there at the time we were there. It's like I was in a different time when I was doing this reading. It was weird. I've never really had that kind of time dilation before. So it was very strange. I recorded all of it. I just have not gone back and listened to that one. I think something is then say... see, I can't speak, so that means words are trying to come out. Anyway, it's like I wasn't, now that I'm home, I'm still not ready to go back and listen to what came out of that reading.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense, it's like, okay, you're not in the right space yet. So give it a little while and then you'll be able to go back and listen to that.
And
recording.
I bet you have a lot of, to go through, kind of where, especially if you're there for a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because we get there around 5 at night, and then we leave around 1:30 in the morning. So, yeah. Yeah, we're not going out, you know, hard on all the time. You know, we have we set up a room with our equipment and stuff. So, like, we'll go out and, you know, do whatever kind of thing we want. It's like, okay, let's go back, you know, drink some water, maybe eat a snack, you know, get some new equipment or whatever, and then... boop, you know, head out again. So we're, you know, we're kind of in and out of different areas.
That sounds fun. So neat. That's something I definitely would like to do at some point. You know?
Oh,
it's like there's so many interesting places like here in Ohio too. Like we have what is it? Franklin Castle, which is quote unquote considered like the most haunted place here in Cleveland. I don't know exactly how I feel about that one because I lived literally like 10 houses away from Franklin Castle for years and I'd never gotten any type of vibe from that. Like I feel that a lot of the beliefs about Franklin Castle may be hearsay instead of actually based in fact. Cause it's really hard to get like a straight answer.
Oh, okay.
What happened there in Franklin Castle. So it's like, I wish I knew more about it. Okay. Like, I used to know more, but since I hadn't looked it up in a while, I'm like, my brain's like, I don't 100% remember. But I think there was like rumors of them like having like a lot of children were killed there, but there's no like actual proof. But beautiful freaking place. Like, Franklin Castle is absolutely, oop, there goes my headset. Sorry, my earbud decided to just fall out. It's like absolutely an amazing place. Like, that whole area, and I think that's technically Ohio City, is, they've got really beautiful homes, and then there's just this solid, like, stone, not like a castle, but like, if you look around, this is a castle compared to the rest of the neighborhood for sure.
I got it. And it's no, I don't know, was it like a, I think it was like an orphanage, a rich foreigner
lived there and like built it for, if it was his wife, man. I'm like, I don't want to misinform everybody because it's like my knowledge of Castle is not great, but like I will say that the first time I went to Franklin Castle and knew that it was like supposed to be like the most haunted place here, I felt very disappointed. That's the only way I could describe it, because like I literally felt nothing there. And but like we've talked about this before, that could be just me having like walled off and protection, you know. But I've heard from many people them having crazy experiences, and I do know that they do like reservation like dinner nights there, and they did do tours. They stopped for years with that, but I always thought like, hey, well, why would I tour this place? I could literally jump the fence and get on in. But no, I never did that.
There you go.
A, absolutely like real, like even if it's not, even if it's not haunted or is haunted, it's definitely a place like I think people should check out, because it's so unique and so beautiful and like just an interesting place. I just personally had no feelings of like things there or anything, and that kind of bummed me out. I got more from the the old we have an old lighthouse that was off of like Whiskey Island and, on Lake Erie, and there they had that's where like the Coast Guard used to like be held. And when one year my friend was like, hey, you know, want to go explore an abandoned building? And I'm like, oh yes, definitely, let me get my camera, we're gonna go, and like we're gonna have a lot of fun. And we get there and everything's locked up, the whole place is locked up, and we're bummed. We're just walking around, and we went around the back towards the lighthouse itself, and we were like just smoking a cigarette and chit-chatting, and I don't know what made me like look behind me, and the door was just open. And we're like, okay, I guess we're getting in today. So we went in, and like this place was spooky. I don't know much about like if there's any like activity there, but that place gave some freaking creepy vibes the whole time. Like when we finally got to the second floor, because I tore out the second floor. So it's like the only way you could get onto the second floor is by climbing up on the walls, because there's no actual floor. So you'd have to climb and stay on the walls to get around on the second floor. And that's also how you get to the lighthouse. And we're like, we gotta get up to the lighthouse. Like, whatever we do here, we're getting to the lighthouse. And so we climb up and we're on the walls. And like, this place is graffitied all over. Like, some of the coolest, creepiest graffiti all over the place. And we get up on the ledge of the wall, and we're walking along the walls to get to the entrance to the lighthouse. And we get to the lighthouse, which is a big spiral staircase, and it's just handprints all the way up. And it is like, it creeped me out. I have pictures of it somewhere. I got to find my camera, but like, I got a whole bunch of pictures from there.
Yeah.
And that place was definitely like really, really neat. We spent probably like hours there. Heck, I think we even like smoked some weed up in the friggin' lighthouse itself. This was a long time ago, And hey, now they rebuilt it, I'm pretty sure, and got it like remade, and it's all, I think it might be even functioning now again. But it's just crazy that, like, from the first time I was there, and then I saw it after it was redone, I'm like, whoa, this, wow, this place used to be terrifying. Yeah, that place gave me more vibes than Franklin Castle ever did.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Oh my god. And well, for the Nevada State Prison, the lady who kind of runs the place, Susan, I'm gonna mess up her name, so I won't even say a last name. I'll get it wrong. So anyway, Susan, I'll put a link in the show notes for that. I know she's on Facebook. I know the prison's got a Facebook page, so if anyone wants to check it out, awesome. We'll put that in the show notes. It's a great place though, man. It's really good. We got lucky because it was just May. It's not super hot. It gets really hot. We've done it before in like July, and I mean even at 1 a.m. it's still, you know, like 70 degrees, and you know, it's these old cement buildings, so I mean they get the heat and they just keep the heat, you know. It is, even inside the buildings, it's just like hot. It's crazy. It didn't happen in this one, but last year when we were up there and we did it, we're all on one of the wings. I can't remember. It's probably C, and in these cells, and we all went into like different cells, you know, so we could be like on our own, get our own experiences, you know, be like separated kind of thing. And, you know, so we were sitting there, we had a little bit of something going on, and then it kind of like, I don't know, activity seemed to have died off or whatever. And so we were sitting there, not really much happening. So then, you know, our team, when we get together, we're crazy. We start joking around and we start having fun. We're like telling jokes and doing things. And just, I mean, we were making a lot of noise, you know, probably more noise than you should make when you're in the cells. And at the end, you know, at the end of the row, you know, there's doors to go through. You know, obviously there's, you know, barred doors on the ends, you know, going down the row of cells kind of thing. Well, they were both open. We were all in our individual cells. Okay. Nobody got out of the cell. At the end of the hallway, of course, the end closest to the cell I was in, the door slammed. And believe me, it's just like, bam! Like, I mean, like, so it force. And all of us were like, what the? You know, I mean, we lost our mind. And I was like, hey, who did that? What the? You know, because we thought maybe somebody snuck out of their cell, you know. Believe me, there's a couple of jokesters on my team. You know, I would not put it past them to like sneak out of their cell and then like go do that, you know, kind of thing. And they go, what? I don't know. You know, no way, because I jumped out of the cell and I looked up and down, and all of us came out of our individual cells.
Keep it down there.
It was nuts. Yeah, basically, we were like, what the? And then we were trying to figure out, okay, was it wind? Is it da 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 da? And I'm like, no. Even if it was, like, even if, you know, there are windows, and some of them are broken, there are missing panes of glass, so, you know, you do get some breezes through. But even if, like, the entire window was out, it would have to be, like, hurricane-force wind to move this heavy iron bar door, you know, this door, to even move it, much less slam it shut. So it was like, whoa. I was like, what did we do? And so, you know, that's when they were like, okay, we're sorry. We were being too loud. It was later we figured out, you know, we were probably being too loud and they didn't like that. Or it was a guard like, knock it off in there. You know, kind of thing. So, and you know, that's just one of, there's so much stuff that happens, but we love it. And with the team that I'm on, you know, B and I are on, it's funny the makeup of the team because it is, let's see. There's B and me and Jeremy and Chris and Glenn. All five of us are the gay guys. And then there's Michelle, who is a straight female. And then there's Mike and Cammy, and they're married couple, straight married couple. So it's like the gay guys plus, you know, the token straight people. Which is funny. At one point, You know, the team, you know, as people come and go, you know, the team has changed. And at one point, there were more gay guys than straight women. It was like gay guys and straight women. That was the whole team. And the gay guys always outnumbered the straight women. It's like, okay, as long as we keep this ratio, we're good. It's funny, but just our energy together, man. When we're all together, activity happens around us. So I don't know. You know, we've been to places and events, or like, I think the first time we did the prison a couple of years ago, because it's such big grounds and everything, that there was another team there. So like, they were going to this area, we went to, you know, so, you know, you could go to different places. You have two different teams going around. And so we ran into them, you know, toward the end of the night, and it's like, hey, how's your night go? Oh, we had a little bit of activity there, but really nothing else. It's all dead. And we all look at like, really? It's been dead for you? And they're like, why? Yeah, what happened? It's like, every place we've gone, there's been activity. Man. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, every place. And they're like, wow, man, da-da-da. And so we're telling them all this stuff. And then, you know, we say, okay, here's the place that was the most active. I bet if you guys go there now, you'll get something. I don't remember if they did or not. I think they went, because it was like back in the death chamber kind of area, or the women's wing. It was somewhere, anyway, it was over in that area, and we had just gotten all kinds of activity, and I think they went there behind us, and nothing's dead. So I'm like, man, what kind of energy are you guys bringing into the place then? You know, it's like, hey, be open, be happy, be ready. You right, know, here right. we go. Anyway, it's...
I saw you did like a smoke.
Okay, so.
Gosh, what was.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. See, I forget about the things that I do. Michelle has this like handheld fog machine, this little thing that she got. And so we're in this one room and there's a mirror. There's like a full length mirror. Well, not full length, but it's big. You know, kind of thing. And so we have, you know, we have a green light set up behind it. And, you know, she just kind of like just sets the boundary on the window or on the mirror, because we're doing like scrying and stuff. And just an aside for people, because I'm going to start talking about scrying. If you do it, or if you've never done it and you want to do it, set your protections on whatever you're scrying into, the mirror, the window, whatever it is, the glass that you're looking at. Set your boundary, because if you don't, that is a doorway. You have opened a door. Whatever is there, whatever you see in there, can come through and out if you do not set your protections and your boundaries on that.
Yeah.
So, very important, if you're going to go do scrying, please do it responsibly. Anyway, okay, so there's my PSA. But no, seriously, man, because we got some freaky stuff. Anyway, so we have a green light set up. You know, she set the boundaries on the mirror, and then she's foggy, and we stand there, and you stand there with your phone so you can take pictures, and just take, like, picture, and then you go back through and look at the smoke. And while you're standing there, you can see your reflection, and you want to see yourself, but you don't want to be looking at yourself. You want to kind of look past yourself as you're doing this. Which is, you know, it's just basically scrying. It's like, okay, you're not just looking at the surface, you're looking into the surface, if that makes any sense. If you practice scrying, you know what I'm saying. And yes, I'm doing a horrible job of explaining it. Anyway, so I'm sitting there, you know, I'm like, okay, boom, taking photos. I'm going back through them. And I was going through and I'm looking through my photos. And I saw like this face in this one. And about that time, Cammy comes over and she's talking to me a little bit. She goes, you've got, you know, you have your guides. You always talk about George. I go, yeah. And she goes, have you ever met them? Have you ever seen them? And I'm all like, no, never have. I go, they're kind of assholes that way. She laughed, but I'm like, no, look, I've tried to meet my guides, and they're like, yeah, whatever, man, whatever. Yeah, well, don't worry. You ain't got to meet us. You know, we're here. You ain't got to meet us, okay? It's just, I don't know, it's a strange thing. Anyway, and as I'm saying that, as we're talking about that, I'm looking at this photo, and there's a big face, and then there's another face, and another face. As you all know, George, my guides, singular name George, there's three. And I was all like, holy, and George is all like, oh, that could be us. So looking at, I'm like, oh my God, there's three figures, and they're kind of scary. I think I shared this photo with you. They're a little scary. I may even put it up on definitely. My Facebook. I'll have to put it up. It is three faces, and I look at camera. I go, well, this is them. And she goes, what? And she looks at the face. She goes, that's creepy. I was like, yeah. I was like, okay, whatever. I'm looking at other photos, and there's some other stuff that's popped in. I mean, it's really cool. Everyone's getting some really cool stuff. One of the guys, Chris, the way the smoke and everything, the way you caught the photo, it looks like hand, like skeletal hands all around him, like reaching out toward him. Like above his head, side, you know, onto his body, you could see like all these hands like reaching out, like trying to like wrap themselves around him. I know, it's like woohoo, that's so much fun. But yeah, so mirror scrying, you know, like smoke scrying in a haunted location. Just be aware, it's cool. Yeah. Everybody got some good stuff, you know. So we're still going through those photos. And it was later on and stuff. I was like, okay, you know, I kept going back to that picture with the three faces. I was like, oh, come on, this can't be. I was like, well, that'd be interesting if that is George. And then George goes, yeah, not me, man. I'm just joking with, you know, he goes, I'm fooling with you. I was like, I knew it. He goes, see, but it could have been me.
That's so
could have been us, I guess. Oh, he's so funny. He is hilarious. Oh, yeah, I'll definitely have to share that photo because I won't even point out the faces. If you don't see them immediately, maybe scrying is so not funny. For you.
It's like the one, I think one of the photos for on like Facebook and for our podcast and stuff, you see the one smoke lion. And that was the, like, I was just sitting in my garage and there was a beam of light going from like the window across the whole room, and I was smoking a cigarette, and I was just like, oh, this looks really, really neat. So I like busted out my camera and started taking pictures, and that one picture, it looks exactly like a lion, just, and I'm just like, every time I look at it, I'm like, that's all I see. And so it's really amazing what you can get like taking pictures through smoke. So scrying's gotta be outstanding.
Yeah. Oh man, it's crazy, and you could just feel the energy when you're sitting there doing it, because it's like, I'll be like, okay, I'm like, I knew I had gotten things. I mean, the smoke only stays, you know, in front of the mirror for a minute, you know, maybe two. You know, it's dissipating. Obviously, it's a little handheld fogger thing. So, but I took 50, 60 photos? I don't even know. You know, I was just hitting the button as fast as I could. Bam, 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 you know, taking photos. So there, you know, some there's nothing. And there's one, I'm not sure if I shared it with you or not, but there's like a series of photos and you can see this image form. It's like this little body forming and it's, you know, like looking sideways toward me. And it's this little figure. I'll have to share those photos with you too. But it's cool because you can see it form.
Oh.
And then it's
that
gone.
Sounds like so much fun.
So, yeah. Oh, it is. It's great. See the crazy thing?
You know, it's like you got to like step outside of the box to really like and open yourself up to strange ideas, because like if you just stick with the basic science and all this stuff, you're probably going to not find anything. Or you'd be debunking every single thing you experience. But, you know, that's a part of the whole investigation part. Like, that is the investigation. Like, what can we disprove? Mm-hmm. And then when you can't, you know, when all normal answers don't fit, then it's the unexplained that is the most, like, I'm totally misquoting the hell out of that.
You butchered the heck out of it, but I think, when you run out of normal,
right,
you know, and it's still there, then it's paranormal. I don't know, that was a misquote as well, but anyway, it made sense. It made sense in my head. What do I know? Hello, Mr. Poe. Yes. Okay, we have a kitten joining us now.
Like, I would love I've always been interested in, like, I think cryptids are really, really interesting because, like, there's so many for every state, every area has their cryptid that they're known for, you know? And, like, I would love to believe in like the, you know, the Squatch, but I just think that the way humans are, if there was a Squatch, sadly, we probably would have killed it by now because we're a bunch of dingbats that think that everything needs to be controlled by humans. But like, I absolutely love that kind of stuff. I would probably never go into the woods and be like, I'm searching for a Squatch, you know, but there's a lot of other things that are really neat.
Because I mean, you gotta be brave because you're out there looking for what happens like, when you find it?
What do you do when you come across a 9 foot tall humanoid creature that is actually there?
Yeah, exactly. When we first started, you know, getting into paranormal and doing all this stuff, I was like, oh man, those Bigfoot people, they're crazy, they're stupid, you know. It's like, oh my God, they want something so bad, and they're just searching, you know, they're searching for this thing, but it doesn't exist. Can't they see it doesn't exist? I've changed my mind on that. I don't have any experiences. I've never met one that I know. You know, I certainly have never seen one. You know, whatever. But watching different shows, you know, and they're hunting Bigfoot and stuff, my opinions have changed a lot about, you know, the people who really truly believe in. You know, I don't know, so I can't say yes, there's a Bigfoot. No, there isn't. The best theory that I feel, and this one feels really true to me, is that Bigfoot are actually interdimensional creatures. They can be here and then they can be gone. You know, it's like they can be standing in front of you 1 second and then they just beam out or, you know, warp out to the next thing and they're gone. They're no longer in our dimension. They're in another dimension. And this is, I think, you know, that's how they get around and that's how they move a lot of it. You know, some of it they will spend time here, you know, on this dimension, but if they need to, they just blink out.
That makes, you know, that, or they can that blink would make back a little in. Bit more sense. Cause like I know how people are. It's like, we map everything, you know, there are places, of course, that people don't go enough or haven't been, but like, we're talking like Alaska, dude. So it's like, it would make more sense to me if they had an actual, like, escape or a place to go.
Yeah, and that's what it seems was it Expedition Bigfoot is the one series, and they are really good. They use all kinds of equipment, and, you know, there's a scientist, and this other guy is ex-Army. You know, he was a Ranger, so, you know, he goes out overground. I mean, he goes running toward them. And with equipment, and they've caught a lot of evidence and a lot of things, and you're like, whoa. But, you know, like, even in some of the equipment and imaging and stuff, it's like, you know, with LIDAR and so on, you can see the image of the Bigfoot, but there's no physical proof. I mean, you see that this thing walked through this area, you know, so something that big walking through this woods, there'd be like broken sticks, there'd be grass matted down, there'd be some kind of physical evidence, something that big just walked right
squatch
there.
Signs, man.
Nothing.
Squatch signs.
Nothing. Yeah.
What would that be, sass signs?
Oh my God, we made it to Bigfoot. Woohoo! So anyway, you know, that's my thoughts on
like,
it.
One of my really close friends, he moved up to like Washington, Oregon area, and he taught sailing over in the islands over there, and like a big thing in that area is like skinwalkers. And like there's like a tribe there.
Oh, yeah.
And he's actually got a whole bunch of like they're like tattoos for that tribe. He has a whole bunch of them up and it looks fantastic. Really, really neat. And I always thought like, what would be like, okay, so you're searching for a Bigfoot. Okay, that's great. What if you're looking for the wrong thing? Cause like skinwalkers, like Wendigo, like those things are freaking terrifying if you look into them. Like, some of the old stories from exactly. like the gold rush. There's like this old story of like these miners are up in the mountains and they get snowed in and but this is after they all find like a crap ton of gold, and now they're stuck in the cabin with each other, and like now they're getting paranoid. They've been there for a long time. They're getting greedy, and slowly but surely they start dying. And it's like, was it one of them killing each other, or like some fables say, like, oh, one of them turned into a Wendigo? Because I think, don't quote me on this, I think a lot of like the Wendigo myths is like eating human flesh. And so, like, did they go cannibalistic and then become? Oh, yeah. And then, like, at the end of the story, I don't think any of them came out. And they could not find like any evidence of where they went. And so, like, a lot of people are like, oh, they might have actually become Wendigo or Skinwalker. Like, I'm not 100% sure, but, like, you're looking for a Bigfoot, and 90% of Bigfoot stories, they're harmless. They're not out there to deliberately, they'll fuck with you, they'll mess with you. But, like, it very rarely have I heard any stories about a Bigfoot deliberately going out of its way to harm somebody. But, like... Yeah. The stories of the other stuff,
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, we may not be the biggest thing out here, the biggest, baddest thing
like,
out
that,
here.
That would be absolutely, so, like, the Skinwalker Ranch thing, like, I'd love to check that place out, but that sounds terrifying. Mm-hmm.
Oh man, no, I'm just like, dude, yeah, we are so hooked on that show. It's like, man, if we ever had a chance, I would love just a day, one day, one night. Just let me be there 24 hours. It would be cool. I would love it so much. But I understand why they don't, because, man, if you open it up to one, then you it's just never ending parade, and it'll just. You know, people will just trash the place. Unfortunately,
people aren't exactly nice to the environment. It's like,
yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, paranormal teams just going in. You know, you go into the hot spot. You know, the big places and so on, and you wonder why they charge so much money or why there's so many rules. It's because they want to continue to be there. You know, year after year after year. You know, you get people doing stupid things. Like, even in Virginia City, you know, I mean, it's an old silver mining town. A lot of those buildings are old, like old brick, wood, you know, whatever. I mean, they've been there for a long, long time. And then you have idiots coming in doing paranormal and stuff, and they go, oh, we're going to do, like, a little seance and everything, and they'll light a candle, like, on the wooden floor. You know, a real flame candle on a wooden floor that's, you know, bone dry floor, been there for, I don't know, 50, 80, 190 years, whatever it is. You know, one spark, the wrong thing, whoop, it's going up. And, you know, you have idiots that do this stuff. It's like, no, come on. No open flames, you know, but people come in and do it and don't see anything wrong.
You got to respect the area, the environment, the place you're at, because it's like same with like in the paranormal. Like, there's people that are just disrespectful, and then they wonder why they have a bad experience.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, man, you're out there. Okay, you don't know what the spirits are, and you're out there taunting them and doing all this stuff. You know, I said demons, whatever. Demons got overplayed. I've never run into anything. I've run into a lot of angry ghosts, a lot of, you know, pissed off spirits. You know, there's a lot of anger and hurt there. And, I mean, you come in, you know, so say you're the spirit, right? You were this badass guy, and now that you're dead, you know, your spirit's going to be this badass guy. You don't put up with nothing. And here comes some little punk in a black t-shirt and black jeans and, you know, oh, I'm better than you, I'll kick your ass. What are you going to do as a spirit? It's like, oh, really? You don't even know what I can do, dude. Watch this. Bam. And then you wonder why they get attachments and all this crazy shit happens to them. Because, you were disrespectful. You know, in real life, if you come across a bully, you know, okay, you get into a fight, you know, maybe you got your bloody nose or whatever. You know, hopefully they, you know, guns or knives weren't used. You know, you're still alive. But, you know, that's it. You know, in real life, that's it. You know, one fight, you're done. You do that with a ghost, a spirit, guess what? He has free will. He can
and
go
he's
with
got
you
all the time
anywhere
in the
you
world.
Go. He can just hang out and torment you. Exactly. He can torment you for the rest of your life. Because you know what?
Right,
maybe he's
right.
got nothing better to do. You know? So it's like, come on, be respectful.
Yeah, be respectful,
you know, be
to
respectful
everything.
To
like the environment, the people, the place, like the spirit. Well, you know, just don't go in being a douche.
Yeah.
It's like, I just wanted to like make sure we touched on to, like, you had got, like, right after we had recorded the paranormal episodes and then you went on your investigation, I'm like, okay, we got to talk about this while it's still fresh.
Yeah.
And, like, right.
Yeah. Well,
I would love to
head.
Go on an investigation.
Yeah.
Someday we'll have to find a way to come out and go with you guys for one of those, because that would be so interesting.
Oh, definitely. Oh, it's so much fun. Probably, I'll just take you to the Hornet. The Hornet's the best. It's near, you know, it's local to me, and it's
that's
you know,
awesome.
Never disappoint.
Yeah, we've got what is it? Gore Orphanage, Franklin Castle. Gosh,
you get all those cool places, man.
Oh, we got some darn neat places. And like me and my friends, like when we were young in high school, and you know, we were a bunch of stoner kids, but we were always having a good time. My friend and I would drive around all of Ohio. And actually our senior year, we decided to see if we could remember off the top of our head, the routes we had taken.
Oh, wow.
And we had a pretty awesome map of like the northern part of Ohio along the lake, especially because that was like our thing was always to stick around the lake, and we would just drive, and whenever we came to a stop, we would switch, whoever's in the car would pick a direction, you know, left, right, straight, forward, and the idea was to get lost and then find your way out. And so like we've seen some really cool places, like some guy in like I think it's west of where I live now, he actually built a castle, like a legit castle out of freaking gosh, what are they called? Cinder blocks.
Oh wow.
Like, and it's huge. It's amazing. And like we just stumbled across that one time, and I still not even sure where that was. I just know that it was like west of us, and like we both are like, where was that?
What is this castle? Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And like along the lake road. Over here, there's some absolutely amazing homes and, like, absolutely gorgeous. And having been a painter for over 20 years, I've painted a lot of those, like, mansions along that way. And, yeah, good times. I forgot where I tangented it off from, but, yeah, like, Ohio's got a lot of neat stuff. And I think the only place that I didn't learn about until much later is when I went to Jerome, Arizona.
Oh, okay.
And like Jerome is considered like super, super haunted.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't know this beforehand at all. Like I knew nothing about it. I just went there because my favorite musician has a winery up there.
Hey.
And I'm like, oh, I gotta go check this out. But
you had a reason
so
to
cool
go.
Until later. Yeah,
so
I don't understand how people can live on the edge of a cliff and feel comfortable. That freaks me out.
That's interesting for sure. If that's the town I'm thinking of, they had like a huge fire or something. Some kind of destruction went through, disaster went through.
I think
kind of like wiped out most of the people, a lot of the town. And so they rebuild the town, you know, as you would.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, you know, maybe building materials are tough to get, maybe they had, you know, supply issues, but the rumor is, or at least what I've heard, I don't know if this is true or not, so I'm going to couch it as this is what I've heard,
right,
that they used, you know, a lot of people were burned, you know, in this thing, so there was ash and tons of ash around. They used the ashes of the dead people in to make the cement to rebuild the town.
Oh, that's...
So, I mean, if you want a recipe of how to make my town haunted, do that.
Just like, you want to make your home haunted? This is exactly how you make your home haunted.
Here's how you do it. Take the ashes of cremated bodies, mix that into the cement, and then, you know, make your house or, you know, pour your town.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. I was like, I can't, it's got to be that. Yeah, because someone shared it with me, and they were like, hey, have you ever been to this place? I'm like, no, and then it says an article, and I read it all. I was like, that was my thing. It's like, well, if you want a recipe of how to make your town haunted, do that.
Right. Yeah, that's no joke at all. No joke at all. And, like, that place was definitely, like, really, really cool.
Yeah.
I did not like the, like, I'm not afraid of heights, but I am very, like, careful.
Okay.
Of heights. Uh-huh. And getting up to Jerome, the drive is terrifying.
Oh, my.
There's like no guardrails. You're on cliff's edges. And woo. Like, I'm not joking. Many of these buildings are more than halfway over the overhang.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, one of the buildings I specifically went into, you got towards the back of the place, now you're like 10, 20 feet out from the cliff, and they have a window below you, and it's like, yeah, nope.
yeah, that's okay. Yeah, see, I don't mind cliffs, I don't mind heights, it's the falling.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I think one of the biggest things that got me over a lot of, like, when I love mountains, and I love climbing mountains, is realizing that it's really, really hard to fall off a mountain.
Yeah.
It's like you can fall off a cliff, but like you can't just fall off a mountain, really.
Yeah, it's not so easy.
You'd have to go out of your way to do that.
yeah, literally.
You know what? A great place that I got to go that a lot of people are always like really excited about is Estes Park, where The Shining was recorded. What is that hotel?
It's the Stanley Hotel.
Yeah, the Stanley, I think. Yeah. I actually got to stay there.
Nice.
It was a long time ago when I lived in Colorado, and my girlfriend at the time's family, yeah, we went and stayed at Estes Park, and then went, oop, there goes my headset again. Where'd it go? Jeez Louise. Sorry. can you hear me now?
I hear ya.
It's popping out of my ear. We got to go to that hotel. Is this the Stanley?
Right? It's
the Stanley. Okay. And man, that place is absolutely gorgeous. Another place I got no feelings of paranormal at all. I think everybody says paranormal just because of The Shining.
I think, yeah.
But I really don't think anything like actually has majorly, you know, all hotels have had deaths. That's just the way it is. Like, you can't go to any hotel and not have
somebody
passed away there. Yeah,
exactly.
But absolutely amazing hotel, and like the hedge maze. Absolutely adore. It was like by itself. I would go there 100 times because I love hedge mazes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be so cool.
It was funny. I don't think I knew that was the Shining's hotel when I went. Too. I think it was something I found out later, and I'm like, oh, that's cool.
okay, got it. I've heard conflicting reports on the Stanley Hotel. Some people say it's like super duper haunted. Some people say there's nothing going on. It's just because it was in the movie that y'all are doing that. What was the whatever the room, the famous room, is it what, like 303 or something like that? You know, I forget. I think that's the one in the movie. I can't remember. And so that one, you know, like the room sign's always being stolen, or this is all this stuff. That's not even the actual room that was in the movie.
Right.
You know, it's some other room that they actually filmed it in, but they showed the door, you know, the room number is like 303 or whatever. So that's a fun one. I'm all like, you people are all putting all your energy into nothing. But
do you think that people, like, say there's never been a paranormal experience in a place, do you think that if people begin to believe it enough that it could become paranormal, even without, like, say people say nobody dies in this one place, it's like a home and nobody's died there, but we begin to convince others that there's been a lot of activity here or this, blah, blah, blah. Do you think if enough people, like almost like a mass hysteria kind of thing, if you get enough people believing in it, do you think it could actually legitimately become paranormal?
So there's, that's the classic question there. It's can you, it's basically creating a thought form is what you're doing. You're going to create this thing. And can that be done? That's really interesting. If there's like been like zero activity, zero paranormal at all, could you get enough people focusing, repeating, you know, doing it, putting energy
in? Yeah, focusing enough energy there
to actually make it happen. I think that would take a lot of work. I'm not saying that it couldn't be done. I'm just saying it would be crazy difficult to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know in other places that do have paranormal activity that are haunted or whatever, you know, there's already some energy there that mistelling stories or, you know, creating a story about a place or about a thing in that place, you can create a thought form and that entity will exist for a while as people do it, even though that, you know, say like we, you know, so say
right, it, visual realization.
Yeah.
If enough believe it.
Yeah, say we've got this haunted location, whatever, and then in the room there's this mirror, right? There's been this mirror on the side. And so we start telling a story about this guy named Bob, you know, Bob Cratchit, you know, whatever. We're going to go Christmas Carol time. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, like Bob Cratchit was, you know, he actually lived here and he had a bad leg. And, you know, and so he was like homebound a lot. He's in this room. He was always staring in the mirror and, you know, he would dream of different places he could go, you know, even though he was crippled and he couldn't go anywhere. But that's, you know, in his mind, he did. So we create like this whole story about this guy and we tell it to enough people. And then enough investigators come through and they're having other paranormal activity because the house is haunted. And now suddenly people are like, oh my God, I see him in the mirror. And then it starts going and going. We created that. So, yes, you can.
Right.
So, like, I know it can happen in an area that already has some paranormal activity, some that energy's there. I don't know if you can create it out of a place where there's none.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be something that probably wouldn't happen unless it was, like, 50 or 100 years of constant, like, belief.
Yeah, yeah.
And energy put into a place, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember when it was, but I was wondering, it's like, how many times have we just done that to ourselves? Like, you know, you like, what are they called? Gosh, not old wives' tales, but like
urban legends.
Yes, urban legends. Like a lot of urban legends are basically created like that. You know.
Yeah.
And then people have legitimate not quote unquote legitimate experiences for that specific urban legend.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cause the stories that just get told that really don't exist.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mass hallucinations. Dude, that stuff, the mass hallucinations and stuff like that that stuff's kind of scary too. Just like enough people believe it, they freak themselves out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But there's been like recorded evidence of those things happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, it can happen. You know. I mean,
what a place. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. I'm just my mind just ticking on things. You know, it's all energy when it comes down to it. Mm-hmm. So it's just how the energy gets. I was going to say formed, but you know, or directed, you know, how it gets directed, I guess. And then if enough, you know, things go into it, boom, you know, I mean, what's the biggest one that we know going on now? Still, it's been going on forever. The Pope, you know, people believe the Pope has all this power because so many millions of people believe he does.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, there's one, you know, yeah, there's an actual Pope, but you know, a lot of the the mystery, the intrigue, the whatever, the gravitas of the Pope is because of all the millions of people who are devoted to, you know, in that religion. And they, you know, that's, you know, the human form of God is the Pope. You know, so it's like, bam. So people believe that the Pope can do all this shit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know. Now I just pissed off so many people, we may have to cut that part out.
Well, I get what you're saying. You weren't intentionally trying to insult anybody. No.
My opinions are my own. If you don't like me, please email Jameson at facebook.com. No.
Oh, Lordy.
Anyway.
Like, I was thinking of, like, places around the world that are, like, considered, like, highly paranormal or, you know, have crazy... a place that I don't know if I would ever intentionally step foot in is the suicide forest in Japan.
Yeah.
Like, that is... Like, if you look at the history of that,
mm-hmm.
It is, like, the amount of, like, sheer, like... people that have gone there is way out of this world.
Yeah.
We're talking thousands of years, too. Yeah. Like, I think over 1,000 years at least mm-hmm. of, like, intentional suicide or leaving children out there and all kinds. Mm-hmm. Like, that is terrifying. That place has got to be beyond paranormal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would love to visit. I would go there, like, during the day.
When the sun goes down, I
doubt I'd be out wandering around in that wood, you know.
Yeah, no. Nope.
When it got dark, I really doubt it, because anything you run into there, you got a high probability you're not going to run into a person. You're going to run into somebody else's spirit. And
yeah,
for me, the whole thing is there's going to be a lot overwhelming sadness. This place would really get to you, because people go there intentionally to end their lives. This is the last place that they go before they kill themselves. So it's not it's not good energy. It's not happy energy. It's not, I mean,
right.
If you're sensitive,
we should probably put a trigger warning on this episode.
I mean, ground yourself. Oh my goodness, be grounded and have your protections, because I mean that it's just good. It would be so overwhelming. It would be so bad.
Yeah.
And if you even slightly had any kind of thought in your head, it would be amplified. I mean, it's just like I said. I would go and visit during the day, but I would not spend a lot of time there. I would not spend a lot of energy.
Yeah, no, especially if you're sensitive to, like, emotions or energy around you. Like, that place would probably be just beyond.
Yeah. I mean, if you're an empath on any level, and I know empath has been overused. Like, everybody I meet, oh, I'm an empath too, I know this. I'm like, no, really, you're not. Trust me, because if you were, you would be in a ball crying your eyes out right now. Anyway, God, I don't know. Okay, that thought came and went. Woo! That was fun.
Yeah, dude, if you were empathic in any way in a forest where literally...
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, I would love to know what, like, the possible statistics for the amount of people that have, like, passed away there.
Oh, man. Don't even know. Millions.
It's like, could you walk through that forest and not step on a grave?
Probably not.
Isn't that insane, though?
It would be.
That's crazy.
But do they actually bury the bodies in the forest? I thought people just went there and died.
As far as I know, only the ones they find.
Okay, they bury the ones they find there? Ooh, okay.
Maybe. It's like, Japanese culture, I wish I knew more about. I've always found very fascinating and, like, really beautiful. I do majorly respect their the way they view suicide itself, because I think culturally we have made it such, like, you know, in the Christian, Catholic, and many religions, it is such a bad thing, and I think that mm-hmm. we've overly made that bad.
Overly,
and like, don't get me wrong, like, it's not, I don't think it's a good thing, you know. It's I think it's very sad that somebody could be feeling so much pain or hurt mm-hmm. or almost nothing to the point where that was something that they considered the way.
Exactly.
But I truly think that it is wrong of us as people to just automatically assume because somebody committed suicide that they're going to hell. I think that's wrong.
Oh yeah, that's that. Yeah, I don't believe
and,
that.
Like that whole thing bothers me. And mm-hmm. but like, if you look back in the, like, ancient Japan, like, they suicide was a way to regain your family's honor. That's not a negative thing. That was literally a way to protect your family, to give back to your family because you messed up so bad. You know, and it's, again, I'm not Japanese, so I may be missed, but I always respected the way that they looked at it in a different light.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very interesting how, you know, culturally things have, things develop and where we are. So, wow. All right, we are 1 hour and 10 minutes. So we're probably in the wrap it up phase here. For this episode anyway. Man, episode 8. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
No, it's like I love this. I love what we do, and like, I just it's fun. It's fun. Like the paranormal alone. Like we first off, we're both tarot readers and do that professionally. You know, you do a lot of paranormal stuff. I've always been interested in paranormal, and hell, that's how we met. I believe had nothing to do with tarot.
Yeah,
actually. You know, it was just I just happened to meet a bunch of people that were into the paranormal, and I've always been interested, and that's how we became friends.
Yeah,
and like you could, there's if you look at the history of the world, imagine the sheer amount of paranormal knowledge across all cultures. Like I would, like, you got like Mexican culture, or like I hope I'm not the South American culture, North American culture, the Native American cultures, Indian, Japanese, Chinese, like there's so much, and it is so insanely neat, especially like I've always found Asian cultures of like spirits, paranormal, like cryptids, all that is some crazy stuff. And we're talking like a culture that has literally written things down for 5,000 years. The church hasn't existed for that long.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, and they have legitimately written down things for 5,000 years.
Yes,
that's really intense. It's really intense.
It's a lot of history, and
and it's so fascinating.
I mean, if you stop,
I've always loved
I was gonna say, if you stop and think about it now, so in the history of the Earth, right, and you think of how many people there've been, you know, and obviously people live, die, whatever, the number of spirits versus living people, it's like 10 to 1.
So, and like, that's only counting humanity.
That's just counting the humans that have lived and died. Yeah, so
yeah, people run into freaking dinosaur ghosts. Like, is this a thing?
Not that
like,
I know of.
Sorry, it just popped in my head. Like, wait, why do we only run into? Is it intelligence of being or?
Oh no,
like,
no. Because
has to be dino ghosts. I know this is goofy, but I'm like being serious though.
Possibly, I don't know. We do run into ghost animals. I've had 3 cats that have made themselves known to me, and at least 2 or 3 dogs. So I mean, there are, you know, pets that we have are, you know, definitely come back. Their spirit comes back, which is crazy.
Yeah.
The freakiest thing.
But legitimately, ask your investigator friends. Like, I would love to know if anybody's run into, like, and I'm not being like sarcastic or an ass. Like, I'm genuinely curious if anybody's run into a dinosaur ghost.
I've never heard it. I've never heard of it.
It's not something that's even popped into my head until now. I was like, oh, the history of the world, and I'm just like, holy crap, dinosaurs, man.
There you go. Yeah, that's interesting. Interesting. But yeah, the freakiest thing, I was at my friend's house. We were just sitting there, you know, talking. I was sitting on the couch talking, blah, 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 blah. And I feel this cat rub against my legs. I was like, oh, okay, nothing. So I just, you know, we've got 6 cats here. You know, a cat rubs against you.
Yeah.
You just reach down and, you know, pet the cat.
Yes, yeah.
Obviously, right? So I reach down and I'm like, nothing. So I look, you know, to see. It's like, okay, maybe it moved. I'm like, I was sure it would be there. And she goes, what? And I go, a cat just rubbed against me. And she goes, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. Oh, that's Franklin. I was like, who's for? I'm like, well, fast cat. Didn't even see it. It's like, oh, no, that's the ghost cat. I was like, oh, okay, cool. You have a ghost cat and you didn't even tell me. Wonderful. I thought we were friends. Anyway, yeah, but it's funny. She goes, no. She goes, if I tell people about a ghost cat, then they freak out. I was like, oh, okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny because, like, all cats, like, I get along with cats very, very easily.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I go places, they're like, oh, my cat doesn't like people. And 2 seconds later, that cat's purring, rubbing up on me, going, hey, hi, human. Yeah. You're a wonderful person.
Yeah, see, all of that. It's, yeah. I know those ones. It's like, I'm like, no, I'm not going to try and pay the cat, but watch, the cat will come to me. So that's all,
right,
all we need to
right.
do. All right.
Then there's little dogs and they are terrified of me. I don't know. I think it's a beard.
You're big, scary.
Okay. All right. I think it's time to wrap her up.
Yeah, we got to wrap this one up. So anyway, this has been episode 8. Oh my goodness. Pretty much all about paranormal this time, which was fun. So.
Yeah, it was.
A couple of visits to Tangent Island there, but you know. Would it be an episode if we didn't do that?
I don't think so. I think it wouldn't be a conversation with, like, me personally if we didn't jump on the boat to Tangent Island.
Yeah, it comes and goes. Anyway, so thank everybody. I thank all of you guys for listening. Do submit your feedback to us, comments. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you didn't like. Tell us where we got it absolutely wrong, because you know what? We're happy to hear. And, you know, we're not experts on anything, but we know a lot, so we just shared the information that we do have.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I do apologize if talking about the forest triggers anyone. Like, I do understand that that's a hard topic for a lot of people. So, and no offense ever meant or, like, to mentally cause distress in any form or fashion.
Yeah, we don't want to mess with anyone. Yeah. Oh, okay. Another cat. So, yep, must be time to wrap it up.
That's okay. I know my poor wife and the kids have been a little feisty today, so.
All right. So, all right. We will get this one together. It will go up. When's this one? Oh, Labor Day. No, not Labor Day. Sick. Oh, my God, Memorial Day. I just tried to jump us to September. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, golly. Yeah, Genevieve's birthday's coming up in September.
Oh, see? Okay. So we'll give you some time to save up for that. All right. So that will wrap this one up. Say goodbye.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we absolutely love knowing that there's people out there that listen to our show. We have so much fun. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.